It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this.
Welcome here to the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. I got my main man, one of my guests with me, Mr. Wayne Blair. We're live here at St. Thomas Aquinas Practice. That's right, I said St. Thomas Aquinas Practice. We're here on a Thursday night. Listen, you heard me playing Welcome to My House, Flo Rida. That's the newest jam by Mr. Flo Rida himself. Welcome to My House. Tomorrow night, St. Thomas will welcome Matter Academy to their house. That's the theme song. I'm going to tell Roger, make sure they're pumping that in the speakers constantly. We're here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. A Thursday night show on a traditional Thursday night practice. This is one of the biggest practices that St. Thomas have all year here on the Tony Sands Show. We're live to bring it to you. Thursday night, special Thanksgiving. You got an opportunity to see some football. I was waiting, and my main man, Wayne Blair, is joining me here on the Tony Sands Show. Wayne, man, listen, I was waiting because I wanted to see what was the result of the Dallas Cowboys game. And I'm getting texts because people like to eat me up on this one. And I've been getting what happened to Romo and things like that. So that tells me when I get those type of texts.
That means Carolina might have been doing his thing. Cam Newton and Funches and Greg Olsen, all of those guys that they got over there. I actually know a couple of coaches on staff. Head coach here, Roger Harriott, knows one of the coaches, Rock Rogers. His son plays for Green Bay Packers
right now.
He's a special teams coach over there at the Carolina Panthers. No pun intended on the Cowboys.
I know you guys want to dig into me. I know everybody. Cowboys, one thing about the Cowboys, people hate to hate them. They hate to hate the Dallas Cowboys. And, anything they do, they make noise.
The one thing I learned about Texas is everything they do is they do it big. And when you have that star on your helmet, you know what I'm saying? With it comes a price, comes a cost. It's almost like a target, having a target on your head.
Of course.
Those guys have been doing it throughout the years with Landry and Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer and countless coaches that they had over there. And hi, Carol. Love you. I was saying hello.
He was saying hello to, as we call it, first lady.
The first lady.
The first lady
St. Thomas
is what we would call it here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School, because she is the wife of George Smith, the beautiful Carol. I mean, she's been the mom to each and every one of the players that have come through St. Thomas Aquinas, mm-hmm. whether they was coached up under George Smith or they was coached up under Rocco.
Correct.
Roger, any coach that they were coached up under, she is the first lady. In the background, guys, you can hear Harriott blowing the horn. So that means, guess what? That's the kickoff to tonight's practice. But Wayne, let's get into it because there's a big game coming up.
Yes.
And so many people are probably wondering, why is this such a big game when St. Thomas is playing Matter Academy? And I'm going to tell them why. Now, you got to understand, because Rocco coached here, he resigned.
Correct.
He left St. Thomas Aquinas High School on his own accord.
Correct.
On his own accord, he left. He goes to Matter Academy.
Correct.
Matter Academy, previously was 7-4. They were 7-4
the year before he got there.
They were 7-4 before he got there. Now, all of a sudden, they're 12-1. They're 12-1. And he coached a lot of these kids. He had an opportunity to coach a lot of these kids. He's coached some of those kids for 3 years.
Yes.
Now, you leave and you go to another school, and all of a sudden, your school get an opportunity to play your old school, your old team, your old teammates, everybody. They get a chance to play all of them. And now you come back to face St. Thomas in a playoff game that has playoff implications that, guess what? If you was to beat your old team, you get a chance to advance on.
Move on to 7A.
And he came on the show. Now, when he came on the show Monday, he kind of downplayed the excitement. He said, it is excited, but he kind of downplayed it not to, I guess, get too hyped, because he know, I'm quite sure there's some kids on this field that are saying to themselves,
correct,
he's not going to come in here and beat us.
Correct. I kind of know a little bit of that situation, you know, being a former, not only a player, but a former coach here at St. Thomas Aquinas, and leaving off and going off to my own, working under Roger over at University School, mm-hmm. went off to Ely. After Ely, my experience then coming back to University School, and then working at Boyd Anderson, and then coming in the third round of the playoffs and having to play my alma mater here.
Let's dig into that now. Let's dig into, and then you had to come here. Like, he has to come here.
Correct.
He has to come here. Now, what do you, and you're a coach that went through it, what are you telling your players at your team? What are you telling them about this atmosphere? What are you telling them what to expect on the football field? And what are you telling them when it comes to the players that they're going to face?
Well, the first thing is, I mean, it's a first-class program. And I'm not just speaking from my own behalf and being here, but it's a first-class experience as well when you come in here. You know, the fans welcome you in, and they recognize good football when they see it. And it's a very difficult situation, because obviously you know a lot of the people here and walking in and taking all of the different phone calls throughout the week, and then you're gonna have to, you know, it's obvious that Rocco's gonna have to block out some situations.
Correct.
And he's going to have to, you know, get those guys tuned in as to, you know, what they have to do on the field, you know, playing with enthusiasm, not letting situations, correct, you know, getting them caught up and just basically coming in and playing their game. You know, it's a difficult situation. It's easier said than done.
Easier said than done.
Correct.
But now, what was the excitement going for you that night before going into this game?
Man, the buzz of that night was just getting my guys, you know, we had our team meal out at Offer Dolls. We had I tried to, you know, imitate the same Thursday night practice and getting those guys hamped and anxious and getting a little music going between, right, periods, and getting guys just loosey-goosey, because obviously, you know, they ate a lot of turkey, and you know, you don't want them to have a tryptophan moment, so you got to basically be able to work it out.
But now you talk about that. Okay, and most families are eating turkey, as you say, dressing and things like that. Is this why this tradition was started here at St. Thomas, due to the fact that you want to make sure that you work some of that out of these kids?
Yeah, I mean, I know that was part of George's reasoning. I mean, he's obviously a historical figure, and, you know, he had his reasons behind why he wanted guys to come in. I remember back in, you know, the 90s when, you know, I was a player here, we all used to sit down, and back then they had, you know, it was either a Big 12 team or a Big 10 team that was basically playing, and we'd sit down and watch it in the locker room prior to us coming out and then getting ready for practice. You know, you had guys like Coach Poplar and Coach Hackett and Coach Connolly that were different figures, you know, correct, throughout my life that, you know, definitely helped engage me, and we talked.
Got it.
So.
Hey, my man, Coach Smith is, hey, he's, Coach, I want you to come and join us about 6:30 if you got time. We want to speak with you. Hey, the head man. He said, we're here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School, and we are talking to Mr. Wayne Blair. Coach Smith came up to the table. He's talking to us and rapping in our ear. He is the man when it comes to football here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. I'm quite sure pretty soon, you know, this stadium is, I can see it.
Yeah.
You know, they adding the call in the field.
Hey, renaming, you know, no pun intended on the Piccolo family. Love Piccolo family to death. Love Piccolo Park.
Let's dig into this game. You know, like I said, Matter Academy comes in here 12-1.
Well, from what I know from Matter Academy, I mean, they have a good junior running back, decent passing game. And if I know Rocco's going to have a a unified defense, you know, guys just running around, getting to the ball. I know they played over there in that 7-day district over there with Sunset, who they Correct. Got their one loss from.
But they had one loss, but then it, when it counted, they came
they
back
came
and
back.
Beat Sunset.
They came back and
very
won.
Bad.
Correct.
They came back and did it. And I seen the same thing happen with American Heritage, though.
Correct. A tale of two cities, man.
when you look at that whole, when I looked at that scenario, I'm like, wow. How do you, and I said to myself, now, did Sunset take Matter Academy light because they beat them in the previous match?
That could have been a possibility. But at the end of the day, you know, that's why we play the game.
You play the game yeah. on the football field.
You play the game on the football
each
field.
And every week when it comes to
we don't play the game on Twitter. We don't play it on Facebook. We play the game on a football field.
Now, Wayne, listen now. I'm quite. There's not that many games here in Broward County.
Correct.
This week. So the crowd tomorrow is going to be out of this world.
Yeah, Hallandale Square, where are they at? They're going out, and they're on the road.
They're on the road. So St. Thomas takes the stage.
Yeah, this
St.
is
St. Thomas takes the stage.
This is the prize fight of Broward County.
If you're in Broward County and you want to see high school football,
come to Brian Piccolo Stadium and watch these Raiders and Matter Academy team come out and, you know, have a good, fun, spirited game of tryptophan-free football.
Now, I'm going to break down, you know, Matter Academy's road when it comes to the playoffs of getting to this point. They faced Nova, and they beat Nova 35-34. Some people say
a much improved Nova team.
It is what it is. A much improved Nova team. Not taking anything from
very, very good running game, good defense. I don't know coach's name over there, but he's doing a great job.
Much improved Nova team.
Yes.
Much improved Nova team. But then they beat Nova 35-34. Then they go on to play Sunset, as we spoke just previously.
Correct.
Sunset, but they beat them pretty bad.
Correct.
They beat them. And that was a Saturday night game because St. Thomas played Dwyer that Friday night because everybody on the sideline didn't understand. They was trying to figure out.
Miami football, man. Miami football
they was trying
basically
to get that
happens
score
on Saturday
on
sometime.
That game. But I told them that game isn't for 24 hours.
Correct.
So that means that game will be played on Saturday. So St. Thomas guys, and I'm quite sure they did.
They all went over there.
Scouted that from the players to the coaches, went up and got them and checked them out. Didn't matter. Like I said, they beat Sunset 49-2. How do you lose to a team previous?
Mm-hmm.
Sunset, you beat them, but then you come back and you lose 49-12. That tells me a couple things. Either you guys took them light and you let them hung around and they got life and they found a way that they, hey, we own you guys. Mm-hmm. We can beat you. Or, early in the year, Rocco's team wasn't at full go.
Mm-hmm.
And they was learning his system, learning the way he do things, and started peaking. As I say, once you start peaking in late October in high school football,
Correct.
That's when you need to peak.
Correct. The one thing for them is, I mean, I'm pretty sure as far as diagnosing the film, you saw the different mistakes that they made in that first game, and I'm pretty sure you went back in there and they definitely fine tuned and eliminated and probably played mistake free football to hold somebody under 14 points for the game. That's a difficult task, especially with, you know, high flying football these days.
Oh, of course. I mean, I always say I like his style. You got to give it to him. He's a defensive-minded guy. He does do that. He do that well. And I'm quite sure his guys, his defense, which their front line, they're a smaller set of defensive guys, but they're a scrappy set of guys.
Probably slanting, a lot of stunting, a lot of different things where, you know, you thinking it's a one-gap player, but that guy turns around and becomes a two-gap player. So I'm pretty sure, you know, again, it ain't the size of the dog. It's the size of the fight in the dog.
And I'm quite sure Rocco is telling his guys, I'm quite sure, like as yourself, you warned a lot of your players about what they were going to face.
Yes.
How their mindset better be that week.
Yes.
To make sure that they understand this atmosphere.
Yes.
This is a hot. To me, I tell people all the time, this atmosphere is like a college atmosphere.
It's second to none. Again, I told those guys going in, of course, it's a tale of two halves. Correct. You know, you're going to play one half of football, but once you're done with that one half of football, you got to come back in and refocus and then basically gather, because St. Thomas is a four-quarter team, and it's one of those situations where, you know, if you find yourself, you got to be in the arms race within every quarter, and you got to break that game down per quarter. You can't just be, you know, looking ahead towards the next moment, because that might not come.
That might not. I'm going to tell you something. When you're looking at Mattar Academy, we talked about their defense. That's quite sure Coach Rocco is the key to that defense. He's probably not giving that to anybody.
Correct.
He's controlling that. But let's turn to the offense. The offense, you know, they have the running back, number three, Daniels. They have T.J. Harrington, who's the quarterback, number seven. And they also have Mr. Stern. And all these guys are young. Now, you got to take – his team is young. And those are his key guys when it comes to his offense. But then it goes back to, like you said, Wayne, can his defense, with a smaller set of defensive linemen, hold up to a St. Thomas traditional big front offensive lineman? How do you, as a defense, and you are D.C. at University of School, how do you take a smaller set of defensive guys up against a bigger offensive line? How do you – you know, make that some type of match where it's kind of even?
Well, this past year over at University School, we had to do different schemes in order to basically go against, like for instance, a Booker T or, ideally a St. Thomas offensive line that, you know, you're going to have to either beat them to the point of attack or you're going to have to chop them down. You know, if it's a three-step team, again, I haven't been watching, you know, Aquinas football and Jake Allen, all those guys, different quarterbacks that they have. But if it's a three-step team, you're going to have to beat that offensive lineman to, you know, his cut and roll. If it's, a rollout team, you're going to have to beat him to that point that they're trying to roll out to. And then, you know, whether it's a flood route or whatever type of routes that they're running, you're going to have to play either that zone or that man concept. So, it becomes almost like a chess match, man. Every down is a chess match that has to be played, and you have to have a guy that basically marks that information down so you know in critical situations what the possibilities are of what they're going to be able to do and what you're going to try and do to basically negate that.
We're live here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. You're listening to my main man that's sitting beside me on my right side, because I love this left side. I am a left-handed guy, my main man, Wayne Blair, who is the DC over at University School. And he talked about Jake Allen. But we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we're going to dig into the type of quarterback he is, his stats, and how he's going to lead St. Thomas possibly to an opportunity to get another state championship. We're going to go to my house. I'm going to keep playing this all day during commercial break here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. You're listening to the Tony Sands Show. We're heading to a commercial break. Play that Flo Rida. This is my house. I'm quite sure. Rodgers.
Open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home. Tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. We're live at St. Thomas Aquinas High School on their Thursday night practice. For all the listeners that are joining the Tony Sands Show, this is a traditional Thursday night practice every year since I can remember. A lot of alumni come back. You can see a lot of alumni is here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School practice. This is probably, to me, one of the biggest practices of St. Thomas tradition.
Yeah.
It is the biggest.
Yeah, I mean,
by far.
It not only with the holiday and family members, you know,
and that's
coming
what it,
in.
That's what it feels like, a family tradition.
This is just like old Hank Williams said, family tradition, man. All these guys coming in, seeing guys from the 80s, the 70s,
you're seeing the
90s.
Past, the present, and
correct.
The future coming here
correct.
To watch this practice. You guys come out. This is, you can – if you look at the field, you get a chance to mingle with the players, and that's probably exciting because I get a chance to do it a lot because I'm doing my show and with me coming out so much to mingle with the player. But let's get into it. You mentioned one player before we went to commercial break. You mentioned Jake Allen. Now, Jake Allen transferred in from Cardinal Gibbons High mm-hmm. School, came here to St. Thomas, had a couple injuries, had some injuries, did not play, mm-hmm. haven't played a full season for St. Thomas, but he's already put up in seven games over 1,200 yards.
Correct.
1,200 yards, only five interceptions. And when you look at that, his quarterback rating is 102.
He's got good numbers. He's got good distribution. He's got a plethora of different receivers and running backs to get the ball down to. Michael Irvin Jr., Sam Bruce, the big tall receiver. I'm sorry. Grime time.
You got Grime. But I'm going to tell you now, and don't underestimate that group of receivers because, hey, it's another receiver that's coming up in there. Thielman is another one of the receivers he's a senior, and he's making his name known why he should be, and he is. People don't realize he is the leading receiver on his team when it comes to yards. He's like a sleeper receiver because he's slowly creeping his stats up on this season. You would have thought, a lot of people probably would have thought that Sam Bruce would have had more yards, but he don't.
During my junior year, we had Derek Irvin here, family member, of course.
Yes.
And he was our top receiver. But during the playoffs, we had a young guy by the name of Bobby Brown. Went to Notre Dame, and he made his name in the playoffs, man. He came in. He made some big plays.
He had a heck of a state championship game.
Correct.
It doesn't matter where you are
on that roster or on that depth chart. If you're a good quarterback, you're going to distribute that ball around evenly. You're just going to throw guys open, getting the guys that are, you know, you're taking what the defense is basically giving to you.
And then if we stay on St. Thomas quarterback, we look at even when the young guy came in, Felicio came in, mm-hmm. he has 400 yards, you know, in which in spot, they give him nine games, but that's a spotting of nine
correct.
Games.
Correct, in spot duty.
But, you know, spot duty. And his quarterback rating, you know, I mean, for that amount of games, he has a 58 quarterback rating, but he hasn't played
as many
that
games.
Much. He hasn't played that much.
Again, I mean, the thing over here with the quarterbacks, with your one and your two, you can see is both, you know, it's mostly all efficiency.
You know,
I mean, there's no wasted passes as far as things that they try to do here.
Like you said, Wayne, but to me, and you know and I know, when you talk about St. Thomas Aquinas High School, you talk about their running attack.
Running game.
Because you talk about their big offensive line that they have.
Correct.
And with that big offensive line, if you look at this year, I had a chance to interview both of these guys. I call them Thunder and Lightning. And that was Jackson Kincaid and James Charles.
The big boys.
My main man, bats. Kenny, is bringing me some food from an auntie. You know, I'm going to dig into that during my next commercial break. Kenny Taylor's in the building. He is also a St. Thomas alum in partaking in this beautiful
correct.
Thursday night practice here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. Beautiful night.
Hey.
This is the weather we need tomorrow.
Hey. This is a beautiful night. See a lot of guys embracing, man, and again, it's something special for your listeners to know and to be able to, you know, feel what, you know, the atmosphere is out here along the sideline.
Awesome.
You got over 100 and something guys out
alumni
there right
that's,
now.
Alumni that's back in the building.
Whether they're present players in college football, past players, professional players, guys that
you
are all
it,
out
they're
all
in
different
the building.
Walks
so can you
of life.
Imagine, Wayne?
Correct.
How tomorrow atmosphere is going to be like.
Yeah, and, you know, knowing Roger probably going to end up having, you know, a lot of different guys that he may know from, you know, maybe his 94, 95, 93 class that he played with, probably speak to these young men and stress to them, you know, the importance of, you know, family, tradition, and excellence.
As a matter of fact, coming up later here on the show, I'm going to interview one of the guys that really, when you talk about Sean Sands, my brother, I'm going to interview him. When you talk about this run, the run really started when it comes to state championships. He was on one of those state championship teams.
Yeah, that 90,
he was on
90,
that,
90 91, 91, 92.
He was on one of those state championship teams. So we're going to get the chance to hear him speak about his time here at St. Thomas, what it meant to him and what he's doing now. We're going to get a chance to hear the here and the now and what have gotten you to this point when it comes to how St. Thomas have helped you get to that next level, whether it be in the NFL, whether it be in the workforce.
Correct.
Period. Yourself.
Different guys being able to pave the way for other guys. One hand never being afraid to be able to reach out and grab somebody and help somebody in their present situation.
But wait, let's get into you. Let's get into your life. As I state, now people listen. When I used to see him years ago, he had his coaching hat on. Now he comes in the building with his daddy hat on. And the last two times I've seen him, Mama had put you behind the stroller.
Mama's in front of
and
you.
She's
right
in front of you. That's why he don't want. Mama got him pushing the stroller. That means, you know what they would say? Mama's doing a job. Now she's letting you feel what that felt like. Because I'm telling you, my wife tell me the same thing.
Sam,
I'm going to let you feel it.
Sam, man, we went fishing early as far as in the playoffs. And now, you know, it's time for me to take on my duties.
Your duty.
And I accept it and I embrace it.
But that's nothing like, I tell people, you know, because I see the difference sometimes in children. You get that bond. We tend as father because we're working so much that we're going. That young bond, we tend to miss a lot.
Correct.
We tend to miss that bond a lot. That's why we got to make sure that, like I say, we're going to make sure that you keep on behind that stroller, keep pushing it, and then you got that fancy stroller. You got that fancy stroller with them big wheels in the back. And
that's that three-wheel motion, baby.
In my days, the only way we saw them was when we saw them in a store window, because we didn't have those type of nice fancy dudes.
Hey, shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Simmons for the baby gift.
Oh, man. Listen, listen, I'm going to tell you. His baby shower. Now, I didn't get a chance to make it out of time, but I get an invitation, and it looks like
a draft party.
Yeah. I mean, he's already letting you know this is going to be a draft now and in the future.
Amen.
Because your wife is tall. You're tall.
She was no slouch in her day.
And then she's athletic. Dad's athletic. So those genes tend to pass through. Now, normally when you have a athletic mom and an athletic dad, and in the process of you trying to get the success, normally moms are the tougher than the dads.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Moms tend to be tougher on the kids than dads when it comes to athletics.
That remains to be seen.
I'm just telling you now.
It's the process, and obviously you are speaking with great experience.
I'm just saying.
I was around for, all the boys and the girls. You know, I remember the days when we used to load up the truck.
Yes.
Be over in Pompano. We got to get to one site, go over to Davey.
Go to the next site
at Cooper City. And
get it done. What is it like, though, being a dad, man? What is it? You know, this is your first time at the rodeo. You know, I was at the rodeo three times.
Hey.
But this is your first time at the rodeo. I have two boys and a girl. My girl is the last one. I liked that setup. I think I set that setup on purpose because I didn't want my daughter to be older, because it's tough for you to send your sons to rescue when she's the oldest.
Yeah.
She's gonna tell him, man, go sit down somewhere. But when she's the youngest, then you got a fortress that you can put around them,
and everything kind of works itself out.
That it does.
You don't have to govern as hard because, you know, you got some young minions to go out there and do your bidding and handle expectation as a young man could and should.
Yes.
And, you know, again, everything for me right now is, I've been fortunate to have a lot of nieces and nephews. And
so you've had the experience.
Having the experience and taking care of them. But again, you know, at the end of the day, you give them back.
Do you have the experience of changing?
Oh, yeah.
Diapers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Making formula.
Hey.
Do you get up in the middle of the night?
Look.
Do you get up in the middle of the night?
I do get up in the middle of the night. We're fortunate that he is.
He's a sleeper.
He's a breastfeeder. He loves the area.
He's a breastfeeder.
The area.
He loves the breastfeeder. But my mom's probably making it easier now. She's pumping the milk, so that way you can't say, well, I can't get up because, you got to get up.
I walk into situations, man, and I embrace my And, you know, he's over at Coral Springs High School right now with Vinny. And Vinny's a St. Thomas grad as well, working his mag, trying to do the best that he can. He's new in this game.
Let's talk about, you know, we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to talk about the tree that George Smith has in the coaching ranks, whether it be at the NFL or at the high school level. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to play Flo Rida again. Welcome to my house. This is my house. You know what? And I take that for heart. I really say, this is my house.
Yeah.
This is my house. When this field was grass, you got to figure, that's why I am the lead rusher. That's why I call it, this is my house.
Tony, this field had grass and it had that pavement.
We're going to head to a quick commercial break.
On the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in.
We're back at Tony Sands Show at St. Thomas Aquinas High School on a Thursday night. Family night here at St. Thomas is probably one of the most important nights when it comes to a practice night that a family can watch. Because normally, Coach Smith had practices closed.
Yeah.
When we played.
Yes.
Roger, I don't know if Roger has gotten into the point of closed practices yet and understand the importance of closed practice. Coach Smith made sure, regardless, parents, no parents, when he say closed practice, parents understood what that meant, yeah, and they did not come. But now that we're on Coach Smith, let's talk about his coaching tree. You got yourself.
Correct.
You have Roger. You have John Timmons.
Cardinal Newman.
Cardinal Newman. And, and there's a lot that's at the college. Someone that's at the college level.
At the college level, we got Rod Chance at Vanderbilt. We got
But now you got a bigger Bobby that's up at Alabama, came here and coached a little bit with Coach Smith.
Bobby Williams coached with me here during that time when Saban left from the Dolphins, and he was basically just, you know, here, and his son was here, and it ended up working out, probably one of my better situations as far as being an assistant coach and learning a lot from both him, Coach Smith, and the guys that we had here on staff, Coach Conley.
Because you got to figure, Bobby Williams was the head coach at Michigan State at one point.
Yes.
And then he, you know what? He coached me for a spring. But I always say this, and, you know, Bobby came in with the good intentions, and he said, you know what? He couldn't believe that at Kansas I was getting hit during spring. He said, man, you guys hit him? You hit Tony? Yeah, I get hit, bro. Oh. That spring, now this is going into my junior season. Because he came in my sophomore year for a little bit. And he said, man, you guys should be putting him on a red jersey.
Yeah, don't touch him.
Don't touch him. I'm like, okay, all right. That means I ain't got to practice that hard. But I had my worst season that year. I had my worst season that year ever that I ever had. I had my worst season because I was used to being tackled. I was used to getting hit. I was used to hitting people.
Certain things you can't simulate, man.
And that's, to me, that is that. I loved it. And I went back that next year. I told Coach, listen, I got to get hit. Point blank, period. I don't care how you put it. I got to get hit. I cannot go a season without being hit. But, you know, we look out here, Wayne, and I look out on the field at these present St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders. What's one of the things that you notice that you are noticing about these new Raiders that's exciting to you?
Well, the one thing I could say is, I mean, you know, working with Roger before at university school, we had everything was it was fun, but but it was regimented.
Right.
So there's definitely a method to the madness as far as with the guys knowing how to be able to, as we would say, flip the switch, turn it on and be able to turn it off, knowing when to focus in and understand what, you know, what the game plan that he's trying to get in special teams offensively and then defensively. And then, you know, cranking up the music and letting guys hit the whip and the nay-nay.
And one thing about his locker room, man, his locker room is upbeat locker room. They play music. You hear music being played while the practice going on. I would have loved that. That was a taboo with Coach Smith. You wouldn't, that wouldn't happen. But I guess Coach Smith has understood that the times have changed.
Correct.
Times have changed here, and he understands that.
Correct. With every good coach, I mean, you know, you had coaches that had losses in the earlier parts of their career, like Pete Carroll. But the one thing is the evolution of a coach and being able to understand, you know, what to do to be able to maximize and get the most out of your guys.
Out of your guys.
And being that heartbeat and understanding that, you know, these are kids. They're impressionable. They have problems. You know, they're looking for that respect factor. They're looking for, you know, discipline.
Correct.
You know, most people say that would be the furthest thing from the truth. But as far as what I know and how I teach and how I go, and I know Roger is probably no different than me. I mean, these guys crave and want that discipline factor.
Update, Wayne, in the Dallas Cowboys game, Carolina 23, the Dallas Cowboys 6 in the third quarter, 3 minutes. I'm quite sure he's been bapping. He's been bapping, seeing. Oh, and let me tell you something, what made me go to it. All of a sudden, I get a text. First, I get a call. I'm on the air. I get a call. I look over there. You know, I got my wife up under my phone, up under sweet wife. So I see it ring. I'm like, don't she know I'm on the air? So then I hit the message. You know, I'm on the air. I kind of figure out what she wanted. So I say, you need something? Then she sends me a picture. She done screenshotted the score.
Cam Newton or
no,
the score.
Screenshotted the score and gave it to me. Now, she's a Dolphin fan. I'm a Cowboy fan. I was just at the shop earlier digging into some of her clients that are Cowboy haters, because the Cowboys, people hate to hate them.
Yeah.
So they are the most, to me, they are the most newsworthy NFL team in America. Anything that they do make national news.
It's first class.
But that is the update that Cam Newton is bapping. You know, custom made.
Oh, custom made
dabbing cleats.
Yeah.
Wow. Custom made dabbing cleats.
I'm not plugging no shoe. Under Armour's probably, you know, hey, they
capitalize on this. 10-0. Take you it. The man. You wear our gear. We are right now relevant. And so we're going to change the cleats. So that way the little kids can see them. They want them, because now they're going to feel like they could do the Superman, or they could dap, get it done. They even got Coach Rivera
dapping. No different than Steph Curry with the Golden State Warriors over there.
Yes, yes, yes.
His little Under Armour deal. I mean,
Under Armour's on top now.
Hey, everybody's going to capitalize. Yeah. I'm sorry. hint. St. Thomas is a Nike school. Okay. Yeah.
But don't be surprised, though. Things could change either way.
And Nike, speculation.
Nike better up the ante.
Speculation.
Right now, Nike got up the ante, because Under Armour is starting to rise in the sports industry.
Correct. It's everywhere.
Rise. You can hear back in the up. Here I go.
A little mystical.
They playing that mystical background here at St. Thomas. With a bird's eye view. We got a bird's eye view on this game. We're going to be back here live. Me and my main man Wayne will be live tomorrow again. Pre-game show kicking this thing off as we watch another matchup. I'm going to call it. I can't call it Thriller for Manila, because I don't think it's that.
No.
I might call it. I give it the Ronda Rousey top fight. I label it as that.
Wow.
Ronda Rousey. But,
wow.
No, I can't give that. I'm going to call it. I'm not going to give it that. I'm going to call it a Mayweather-type fight.
All right.
You hype it up enough. But the ultimate outcome, you know.
Hey, all right.
The ultimate outcome, you know.
I'm just saying.
I'm trying to get Give me your assessment of that. That's all I'm saying.
My assessment right now is this machine that we call the Raiders is going to be rolling into Piccolo Stadium and ready.
Yes,
I wish my good friend Coach Rocco Casulo and his family the best in their efforts as far as.
But it's exciting just to be in.
Exactly.
To me, it's exciting for him to be in the third round of the playoffs, because there's a lot of teams that are home.
There's a lot of people right now at home.
They're home.
Hey, wishing and praying.
Wishing and hoping that they can get here
in this situation.
And their kids couldn't, you know, they'll be here tomorrow night watching this game.
Correct. There's going to be a lot of different high school guys coming to watch this because their careers now are over and they're getting ready for their all-star games.
And they
want to see Broward County well represented
and
tomorrow.
To send, when you say Broward County, because it's going now, it boils down to Dade and Broward.
Correct.
It's a 305-954 type of game.
Correct.
Because that's what this is when anytime St. Thomas play a Dade County team.
Yeah.
It's a 305-954 type of matchup. Everybody always say, well, St. Thomas, when they played early in the year and they played Booker T, they stated Booker T was down. Every time they play a Dade County team, they're saying that the Dade County team is just on the rebound.
Look, Tony, at the beginning of this year,
yes,
this calendar year, everybody had a choice with the Florida High School Athletic Association to pick and choose whether they wanted to stay in their classification, whether it be 4A, 5A, 6A, 7A, they could denounce their rights and get out of the FHSAA as a whole.
Correct.
And go to the I forgot that they call it the private school. Independent league. Or you could petition to try and move up or down.
Correct.
And everybody had their choices, and everybody, every athletic director had enough time to basically put in their information.
Correct.
7A is 7A. You can call it weak. You can call whatever you want. But 7A is 7A. 6A, which Miami Central and all of those teams over there. They have their deal. 5A has their deal with Hallandale and it was American Heritage. And then 4A, obviously, with Booker T still going, I know they got to go on the road, and I wish them the best.
But let's go on this. Let's look at this other bracket. That four, the quadrant of 3 and 4, they'll be the two matchups. And then, when we look at it, let's look at who's on the other side of those brackets. You know, you got Plant City that's still in the bracket. You got Braden Rivers. You have Lakeland.
Old Dreadnoughts, yes. Bill Castle and the boys.
Yeah, Columbia and Bartram Trails.
Yeah, know about
that. All those guys are in those brackets to where it could be a possibility that those brackets meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
That those brackets meet each other, which we talked about how Matter Academy got here. Let's talk about how St. Thomas got to this point. They played Royal Palm Beach, which they beat
Royal Palm Beach County. Okay.
29-0. They went. Faced another Palm Beach team.
Dwyer with Jack Daniels. Well-coached team.
24-7 was that matchup.
It was a 24-7 all-day matchup.
Correct. Now, when you look at this, and we say right now, as far as playoff goes, and you look at it, St. Thomas is outscoring their opponents 53-7 in playoff. That's kind of that's a big number.
Offense, which I know this team is offensively heavy, and a lot of those guys are the name guys on the squad.
Correct.
Offense does put up the points, but again, defense does win championships. And if a guy cannot score, a team cannot score, there is no possibility of winning. You know, you got to be able to create turnovers.
Yes,
you got to be able to get your offense more opportunities to be able to get back out on the field and try to drive, whether it be 80, 50, 70, X amount of yards.
But now, Wayne, when you look at this whole setup of 7A, there's some tough teams in the 7A bracket.
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure there was old Lincoln, you know, that was a heck of a team back in the day.
Look,
you talk about Lakeland, who at one point.
Hey, during my years coaching here, Lakeland definitely was that bigger brother that came in and took your meal at night.
Yeah,
you know, you thought that you had something, and you know, we played them in triple overtime back in the day. That was on ESPN. It made one of the highlights because
Most definitely.
They had some guys. You had the Pouncey boys. You had the safety that's playing for the Bengals. You had a whole bunch of guys that are on NFL rosters right now between both teams that, you know, had some spirited matchups that, of course, obviously are still being talked about in Florida High School Athletic Association history.
That it is. But when let's talk about, you know, St. Thomas is known also, and they got a banner up here for guys in the NFL.
Yes.
The amount of guys that they have in the NFL right now, they're the leading high school in the country for putting out NFL guys.
Correct. At one point in time, it was
it went through Broward County.
I was about to hit it.
Dillard, Ely. When it started up, well, you know, it was always in South Florida, period.
Correct.
Always in South Florida, period. No ifs, and buts about it. It is what it is, because it was at one point St. Thomas. It was St. Thomas. It was started out as Glade Central.
Yes, Glade Central, then Ricky Jackson, all of those older
that
guys.
Group, then it went over to Ely High School at that time. And that's when you looked at Henry, Zach, Al. The McDougal, and it was all that group.
Yes.
Then it went to Dillard.
Dillard High had a ton of them. I mean,
Isaac Bruce,
Lorenzo White.
And then it made its way to this traditional powerhouse.
These hallowed walls.
Traditional powers. And then Michael Urban came back just recently and gave the Golden Ball Award to St. Thomas, which he presented it at that time to the head coach, with at that time was Roger Harry.
Yep.
And that's week 15. People to get a chance to see that ceremony, and it was an exciting ceremony here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School to see St. Thomas getting that amount of press coverage here. So, I mean, when you look at this whole thing and you say, here we go, St. Thomas is the number one school for putting out professional athletes.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
That's gold standard. That's STA standard. I mean, a lot of those guys, you know, I've been fortunate to either come across or work with Leonard Hankerson,
correct,
Major Wright,
correct,
Geno Atkins. The list goes on and on. As you go through, you know, countless different NFL rosters. And then, of course, you know, you got different guys inside scouting and coaching with NFL St. Thomas Aspirant. Well, they were all former St. Thomas guys. You got Steve Rubio. He's a scout for the 49ers.
Yeah.
You got Chris Shula. He's working over there quality control for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I can name a bunch of other guys.
Guys that's just dealing not only players. Michael Urban is working for the NFL Network, who his son is out here playing at St. Thomas Aquinas High School, a commitment to the University of Miami.
Yes.
Which Miami has two guys here at St. Thomas. They have Sam Bruce and Michael Irvin.
You're touching on that topic where it gets very interesting. And, you know, who's the lead candidate? Who's the next guy?
Well, let's get into that, because I know you want to dig into it. I'm going to dig into it because I've expressed my issues on that earlier in my show. I get a chance, me and my main man, Ryan Bartow, dig into that a lot. And we broke down. He did a big story here in South Florida on who coaches would like to see as the next coach at the University of Miami.
He actually polled me as well. He polled me and Coach Luque, my guy.
Okay, well, what was your take on it?
My feedback within that story was I said that they would need a guy that could be an advocate for, first off, trying to get a stadium that's reasonable to somewhat have a college type atmosphere again. You can't replace the orange.
But how and where?
Well,
there's no way.
Here's my idea.
There's no place down there.
Here's
South
my
Florida
idea,
for that.
Sam.
There's no place at the University of Miami for that.
Teaming up with David Beckham. Okay, there's still real estate over there by the American Airlines Arena.
But do
Arena,
the University of Miami have that kind of money? Now, you're talking about David Beckham, who is a franchise in of itself, and to talk about what he has. It's a little, his money stretches, I think, you know, outside the realm, because he's getting help from Miami.
I understand that, but it to me, it would be a good partnership. It would be a good marriage.
So you were saying let them play in that same arena. I don't think it's big enough. I don't think they're making the field big enough to play football game in it.
If David Beckham is going to put an MLS or whatever type of team there, obviously you're talking about at least a 40,000 seat stadium. Now, if you got a 40,000 seat stadium, there's X amount of different things that you can do within that, and especially for a soccer field. A soccer field with the dimensions of a soccer field is very big.
But that's one of the issues. They're saying that field may not be big enough to hold a game. Now, imagine, you said 40,000. Now, imagine the University of Miami, and all of a sudden, they've miraculously become ranked, and now you got a number one and a possible number two matchup. That stadium wouldn't be able to hold it. It would not be able to hold it.
Again, that's all about location. How? It's all about location where they choose for the college football playoffs. Obviously, you know they're going to use Orange Bowl Stadium or Dolphin Stadium.
But now, that contradicts. Why would you go there when all of a sudden now you get a big game and you got to take it to another state site? That's not your neutral field. That's not your home. You don't get the home field advantage in that.
Hey, Sanz, every way I look at it is everywhere.
You don't get the home field advantage.
Hey, everywhere we go, we make our home.
I'd
rather be a nomad that has two places than a nobody that's got a 70 or 65,000 seat stadium, and you can't get 15,000 to 20,000 people to come up in there on a Saturday.
We're talking about college football here on the Tony Sands Show. Let's talk about coaching positions that are opening up at the college level. And one school come to mind is the University of Central Florida.
That's a diamond in the rough right there.
Randy Shannon's name pops back up in that mix.
Hey, got to see Randy during the summer over at University of Florida's camp. He's doing a great job over there resurrecting that defense. No pun intended on Muschamp.
He's getting a lot of credibility because he is the one that's behind that defense.
Hey, he's a prize recruiter, man. Aside from Coach Geoff Collins that they have over there as the defensive coordinator.
But he's clearly is that.
We all know that Randy was an architect of some of the most fabulous University of Miami defenses that they had back in, you know, the 90s and the 1000s.
And we talk about that. These are some of the names. Gene Chizik's name also comes up in that.
He's doing a great job over at North Carolina. Geoff Collins obviously being a headliner over at the University of Florida. And before that, he was at Ole Miss.
Dino and Dino Barber's name comes up
also. Dino Babers is doing a great job over at James Madison, I think it is.
Yeah. And when you look at that, if Central Florida, and I look at those names, I look at those names, I say, okay, if I'm trying to make an impact in the state of Florida, because you got to be able to win the state of Florida to win a championship.
Yes.
You got, and Miami made that clearly and known that you got to win a in-state recruiting battle in order to win out-state. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Johnson came in when he took over the University of Miami. He said, I got to win from Palm Beach
on down.
And he clearly did that, and you saw how it paid off for him. So now when I look at these names, I say the only guy that can possibly give you that chance would be a guy like a Randy Shannon.
Yes. With University of Central Florida, considering that they have one of the largest universities in the country, they're only second to somebody else.
But then you're centrally located in the state of Florida where you can get to Miami in less than 3 hours. You can get to Tallahassee less than 3 hours. And then you got Walt Disney World there. Orlando is a prime place to bring.
And the facilities that they have over there are second to none. It's world class. It's a state-of-the-art university. That stadium that they have right there on campus, I want to say it's about 40 to 50,000 people that they can get in. It's a very big campus.
And they get in-state money.
And, hey, ain't nothing like state money.
But let's talk about your school. When your school is in this thing where they're saying – they may be dismissing Coach Johnson from the Green Wave. Final game could be Friday against Tulsa. What are you hearing about that? You are inside guy at Tulane.
Well, Coach Curtis Johnson, New Orleans guy. He was a receivers coach back at UM back in the day. They were thinking, I know from his past experiences, that, you know, he could bring a lot of the flavor back over there to Tulane. I know his first two seasons did well, got into some bowl games, but since there has been a rapid decline since they basically opened up that new Ullman Stadium. the first name right now that I actually seen across the waiver wire that they were probably willing to try and attract is Rex Ryan's brother. The one with the flowy hair.
Yeah, the one with the nice, beautiful hair all over the place, looking like a California hippie. But
which he's New Orleans Saints' present defensive coordinator. So
No.
Oh,
no,
he's
no,
not
no.
anymore. Oh, he's all right. Not. Well, there it is.
He's been released. He's been relieved of his duties.
Well, with that being said,
he was relieved of those duties.
He's
bro.
Around the city, everybody's looking for work.
He's up for grabs now, and a lot of news been on Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
What's the situation with going on to Chip Kelly? You know, would he return next season? Because Chip Kelly's name is being mentioned in that USC job.
Correct. USC, I heard his name come up for the University of South Carolina job as well. So
yes.
Who's to say, you know, what it is that he can do? But, you know, everybody loves that high-flying spread offense and athletic quarterback.
What I call a wild. I call it a Wild Wild West type of thing.
Hey, man, it reminds me of back in the day of like when, what, Houston and had when, David
when
Klingler
he came
and all
in,
of those guys.
When David Ware, he came, they go, those guys came in with that gunslinging mentality.
Yes.
Defense didn't know how to defend against it, but once they found out how to defend against it, it came and went away real fast.
It served its time.
But now let's go to LSU, Les Miles' situation. It's still in question. They don't know what's the situation. You know, it's reported that the buyout of Les Miles' contract is very possibility. But they say they have that money for it.
Well, the board of trustees over there in Baton Rouge ain't playing around. Because if you're willing to sacrifice $15 million for a guy that's been well over 500 for the past 10, 11 years that he's been there, I don't quite get it.
I
don't get it.
But
I'm
now,
sorry.
And we also got to remember now, and Kelsey, my co-host, was talking about dark horses with the University of Miami. He mentioned a couple names. I always told him, if you're talking about a dark horse, Charlie Strong would be a dark horse because his name is coming and going. But Charlie Strong has never come out in an interview and said, no, I'm not. I would not take the Miami job.
Sans.
So they compared him to Nick Saban.
Sans, I look at it like this. I call that wishful thinking, man.
Now,
Charlie's making $6.5 million, man.
Listen, but now a lot of that still depends on these last two games that Charlie has. They're still saying that there's a possibility that if he don't win this, he could possibly still be out. Texas has that money.
Oklahoma, he's safe.
It's safe
for
but
another
they're
year.
Saying now listen, they're still saying he's got because he got Baylor at the end of the year. A lot of that's going to depend on, I'm quite sure, Baylor, clobber Texas. There's going to be some problems.
I know a lot of the board of trustees over there might be, you know, wavering and thinking about that. But, again,
there might be some problems in Texas.
You got to be able to give a guy like that
3 years.
At least four.
So
at least
my,
four
my man
to
is
five
saying
years,
4 years man. That you got to give a guy. But Miami is talking about now, they're willing to up the ante to $6 million to pay a head coach.
But then again, now, if you're paying the head coach $6 million, then what is your coaching salary
What's
pool?
Your coaching pool?
And Miami does not release those numbers, so guess what?
So yeah. That might be all in that $6 million. So there's a possibility you can only pay $4 million.
Just because you may have the top dog, at the end of the day, it ain't about the top dog. It's about the dogs that are surrounded around
Correct.
That top dog.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't have the money, and when we talked about money, we talked about facilities, we talked about all that. Miami is clearly behind the eight ball, but they're still getting recruits because guys still want to be a part of that. That's the biggest brand in college football, bar none.
Mystique, tradition, the whole deal, the swag. I mean, it is phenomenal, and it is a great idea. But again, you make the comparison to a UM and a Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the facilities.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, look at the stadium.
No, but there's no comparison in those two.
You are correct, and I'm not. Hey, I'm the biggest UM fan I know.
We're not knocking what the Canes have, but we're just saying there's a big
disparity.
There's a big gap in between
correct.
Today's college football in facilities versus the University of Miami facilities.
Correct.
And I think they're trying to figure out, they understand that that is key. And I'm trying to, they're trying to find the money to enhance their facilities, mm-hmm. but they don't, the room at the University of Miami kind of limits what they could do and how far they
Correct.
Can expand.
A lot of the different city codes and ordinances that they have.
And it's so closed in. You got to figure the University of Miami sits in a small community.
Cul-de-sac of Coral Gables.
Yes. You got Coral Gables on one side, Coconut Grove
on the
other side. You go on the Coconut Grove, you're in paradise.
Yes.
You go on the Coral Gables, you're still, as we would call it, you're still in the hood, bro. It is no secret. You are still in the hood. You go across the street, you are in paradise, one of the richest areas in Miami.
Yes.
You are in one of the richest areas in Miami. So they use South Beach a lot in their recruiting tool.
Which is very easy to do. And, you know, all of the different, scenery and attractions that Miami does have. I mean, it's very hard for a kid that may be from the suburbs or the South or California to turn this down. Sunshine.
The Sunshine State. It's tough to turn it to go to cold weather.
It's tough. Very tough.
But kids are doing it. And when our kids go abroad, they become stars. When they go outside the state of Florida, they become stars.
Correct.
They become
it's
stars.
Second to none. Different guys that we've all come across in this game of football and all the different walks of life that they've had to go through, and the different advancements within their career that we are seeing on the daily. It's amazing. Amazing.
And Wayne, like I said, we're going to interview some St. Thomas alum. You're going to close the show out with me, so I don't want you to go too far. Don't put that stroller on brakes. Don't leave, because you're going to close the show out with me, because we're going to dig into a little bit more of this rivalry game here. It's built up as a rivalry, but like I say, I take it as a Money Mayweather fight. It's going to be a fight, but rather it go 12 rounds, you kind of ultimately know
We hope there ain't a lot of jabbing and moving around. We want to see more action. And the grit of
okay,
the
so
game
now
of
you're
football.
Saying so it went back to what I said. You got a bigger offensive line versus a smaller D line. What do you do to put yourself in a situation where there's a possibility that you have a shot in this game?
You have to become crafty in your game planning.
You're a D coordinator. If you was bringing Matter in here as a defensive coordinator, what are some of the things that you would do?
I'm going to do something that they quite probably haven't seen before during the season.
Okay.
In my case, it would probably be an odd man front, moving guys around, making the offensive line have to make checks, make the quarterback have to make checks, accustom them to doing something that they probably not used to doing. Because most teams, most high school coaches now are just lining guys up. And, hey, this is what we do. This is what we are. And we're not going to change it. Again, it's a different animal. Every now and then you got to throw a little monkey wrench in there to give them something different. So now you got to see how they basically respond.
But now, Wayne, and we understand it. But now, how in a game that's four quarters, how long does that last, though?
Well, When you do a change up, it normally can probably last until the half. Then you could probably get back to doing what it is that you do, because now that you probably got an offensive coordinator.
But at that point, it depends on where you at.
Correct.
If you're behind or if you're still in the game. Now, do you change it? If it's working for you in the first half, do you change it at halftime?
Oh, heck no. If it ain't broken, we ain't going to fix it. We're going to leave it. We're going to let it ride.
You're
going
to die with it.
We're going to let it ride.
How do you have your linebackers playing?
My linebackers,
now
obviously.
His linebackers are small, too. Now, you talking about you get some of these tackles that can guards that can pull off on some of them linebackers. Hey, you got some problems.
If we're cutting or we're stemming, we're
Correct.
Doing different things. I'm basically
Correct.
Sending linebackers in the gaps. B,
Correct.
C, D, yeah. A.
And getting them in. But
that's my boy.
How do you play? Do you play the safety? how do you play your safeties up to help stop the run? Because St. Thomas, I'm quite sure, is thinking with that small D line, they want to give them a dose of the run.
Well, again, you're going to have to pick your poison now, because once you start walking up those safeties, now you're talking about one-on-one matchups with some of the best receivers in the country. So you have to say, hey, do I want to live and die by stopping the run, or do I want to play some man up and off-balance you by playing some zone packages or some zone pressures to, you know, offset what it is that we're doing with our front four?
Now, you say you got that dose of that run. Then you got two type of running backs there. You got a thunder and a lightning. You got a guy that can pound you, and you got a slasher. Kincaid in this game will go over 1,000 yards. He will go over 1,000. He's at 998. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite sure, talking to James earlier, JC said, hey, I want a breakout game. Does this become, if your D-line can't hold up, do these type of games become a stat game, even though it is a playoff game?
Yeah. If you can't stop the run, it's going to be a long night. It's going to be a long night.
And that's,
you say there's two backs. From my understanding, I thought there was about three or four of them.
There's a two-headed monster that is dominant in this. And those two dominant guys are Jackson Kincaid and Jane Charles is the two. When you talk about, you got to figure those two guys got over 1,600 yards combined between the both.
It's a good problem to have.
They're both are combined together to have over 1,600 yards.
Hey, that is
that's a large part of
problem to have.
When it comes to the offense of St. Thomas, that's a large part of their offense. That's a large part of their offense. So how do you stop a two-headed monster, because he's going to pound you, and that means you're going to wear down your linebackers, because they're going to go pound, and then you hit it with a slasher. It's going to be tough. How do you defend against that? You're a DC. You've seen this week in and week out here in South Florida, but like I tell people, it would have been tough for me to play in this type of offense for the simple fact I was selfish as a running back, because I felt you had to be selfish, because I wanted all the carries. In this type of two-back system, it'd have been hard for a coach to coach me, because they would have considered me a athlete with an attitude, because I would have never wanted to come out when I don't know what this pat on the head thing has become. You have this. That would have never happened in my days, because if I pat on my head, that's giving that other guy an opportunity to come in and play. And I'm not giving nobody that opportunity. I ain't giving nobody to get that opportunity, because on Saturday mornings, I want to see my name in lights. I want to see my name as headlines of it. Sands leads St. Thomas to another victory. Sands cruises past Nova. Sands dominates Fort Lauderdale. That's what I want to see. I didn't want to see Sands share anything. Period. Coach Smith knew that. It killed me one time when he took me out and we was playing Nova out at Nova, and I had over 200 and some yards going into the second quarter. Four touchdowns, and he pulled me. And I'm looking like, man, I can get over 400 yards. Because I'm saying to myself, there's Vince Powell over at Cardinal Gibbons. They giving him the ball 35 times. Why you want to take me out? I'm looking at, hey, listen, I want to make sure I'm the number one rusher at the end of the year now. All this going through my mind while I'm on the sideline. I'm saying, listen, I got to be the number one rusher. Point blank, period. It don't get no better than that. This is what's got to happen. And then Coach Smith pulls me. And I'm thinking, my mind is on the other side of Cardinal Gibbons. Damn, what is Vince Powell doing right now?
Yeah, that's a tough one, right?
What is he doing right now? And I understand in this day and age, Wayne, you know, how the game is.
Hey, the backs ain't built the same no more. And it is good to have a change of pace, man, because, you know, you got some first three
change of pace.
All I'm saying.
Go ahead.
First and second quarter, I'm going to give you this. Okay, this guy does this. Then all of a sudden, third and fourth, whoa, we got this other cat over here coming in, and he do something completely different.
But, Wayne, as a running back, we get our rhythm.
It's rhythm.
Our rhythm by our carries. It's tough for me to say I'm coming in three carries and then I'm coming to the sideline. Coming in two carries, I'm coming to the sideline.
Rhythm base, I understand.
That's not how a running back is built. Maybe these, I guess, because they're they've gotten accustomed to it now versus us then. Maybe they've gotten accustomed to it because now they're doing it at the little league level, and I guess that carries over to
it has a lot to do on, you know, I think, you know, it's almost one of them situations where the featured back is it's not a lost art. It's just more that you want to be able to have the next guy ready because the injuries now are ridiculous. I mean, what week are we in NFL football? Week 11. Look how many injuries, man.
Yes.
If I was doing a fantasy roster, I probably done went through my fantasy roster three times over.
Went through your poll over. You got to figure St. Thomas have had those list of injuries this year. They lost Bosa. They lost the quarterback for a small amount of time due to him having some injuries. But they did, at one point they said he was done for the year, but he surprisingly came back in the Dwyer
game. Next man up.
He came back in the Dwyer game. I guess he said, hey, listen, I want that. That's my job. I got to have it. I want that glory. So he came back and played and won his first playoff game.
Hey, what's the easiest way to say it? If I'm talking to a young man, and a couple of guys that I've coached before know this, my main emphasis when I talk to them is, what do you want your legacy to be when it's all said and done?
What do you want it to be?
How do you want other people to speak of you when it's all said and done? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I had the privilege of going to
the College Football Hall of Fame, and I seen my boy inside the College Football Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? That right there warmed my heart.
It was ironic because I forgot that my at that time I set that record. The ball, that was the original ball that we played with. Mm-hmm. They gave me an imitation ball, but they sent the real ball off. At that time, it was in Ohio. They sent the real ball, and they sent the tuxedo because I was called Tuxedo Tony Sands. They sent everything. So now, I done been to Atlanta at the hair shows right next to it and not even paying no attention. So I get a text. Somebody sent me a text of a picture of a ball, and I'm looking at it. I open it up. I'm like, wow. So I said, where is this at? They say it's in Atlanta. At the College Hall of Fame. So I was in Atlanta in January.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up to the place and I said who I was and, I would like to come and see my ball. And the guy like, your ball? I said, yeah, my ball's in here, buddy. And he said, for real? I said, yeah, I'm Tony Sands. He said, yeah, your ball's on the second floor.
Yep.
But now I look at a guy. And I say myself, and this is like I tell people, because I said, man, my ball's been in a long time, since 91. I set that record in 91. So if you look at the years, 2001, that's 10 years. I've been in there over 20 years. And right now, at the way it's going, because my ball is not still in there because of my yards. At that time, I set, it was 396 yards. Mm-hmm. My ball is still in there because of the carries.
58
carries. I look at Gordon Ball stayed 7 days.
Yeah, before Perrine
of Nebraska.
Correct.
Gordon Ball stayed. Yeah.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. I'm sorry. Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
His ball stayed in the College Hall of Fame 7 days. 7 days. That's it.
In and out.
7 days. Here come another weekend, and boom, your ball's out of there, never to be seen again.
Yep.
Never to be seen again. You won't even have a chance to. At least I had an opportunity to take my kids back to see my ball. He won't never get that opportunity.
You won't even be able to have a breeze to look at that ball.
Nothing. He didn't even get a chance to take a picture of it saying, boom, my ball is in the Hall of Fame. Period.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough, man. But again, records. Are they meant to be broken? And at the same time, this is why we play the game.
For this, and like I said, it's exciting. It warmed my heart to know, and as I'm up there, I'm looking at the ball, and some kids are coming around, they're looking at the ball, and one dad was telling his kid about the ball, hey, this guy said this, and I tapped the guy, I said, that guy was a heck of a guy. He said, yeah, the man that carried the ball that many times, running me. Yeah. I said, that guy's me. And he looking like, okay, my son, he wanted to take a picture, so we take And by this time, one guy led to 2, 3, 4, 5. So now I'm down in the gift shop signing autographs. Well, I know it. I'm down there signing autographs. You know, they've given me what they consider a lifelong pass for me and my family to ever come back the Hall of Fame when I'll get ready. And then not only there, but you got to figure at the University of Kansas, I still hold a lot of their records. I still hold a lot of the records here. I'm still the all-time leading rusher here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School.
Yeah, it's whatchamacallit. You know, ever since you graduated, I mean, you know, during my days, we always had 2, maybe 3,
maybe 4
running backs.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was just like, hey, next guy in line, next guy up.
And I think that's the way this thing has completely gone to where it is gone to where now everybody is known that you must have 2 backs to get it. Because I asked Stale one day, I said, Stale, why was what's name patting the top of his helmet like that, bro? Said, you don't tell them guys they can stay in. Tell me he probably was tired. And that's my worst word I hate to hear.
Don't get tired.
No way. You cannot get tired playing the running back position. But as you can see, they bought up the alumni.
They're getting that pride on A.
Yeah, and that's what they call it. The pride on A. Roger Harriott, this is his first pride on A.
Yes,
his first pride on A here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. The field looks beautiful to see past and present.
It is immaculate. I'm proud to say that I've been, you know, I got to work with, I know you got to work with a couple of these guys this past off season. I got to work with a couple of these guys with my camp over there, working with the O-line, D-line, and the linebackers, and it's good to see a lot of these guys that are young, that had to step into roles, and the Nick Benitos, the different young men that are coming in and making a name for themselves over here as either defensive end or outside linebacker prospects. I wish Bosa well in his recovery. I look forward to being able to work with him as well in his offseason and betterment.
And that's, guys, that's what it is. You know, we're here live at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. We're closing out the show, but me and my main man, Wayne Blair, will be right back here at the same time, same place for the pregame show here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School.
Yes,
the show tomorrow will be sponsored by Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Will be sponsoring tomorrow's pregame show. Wayne, Coach Roger, like he appears to be calling the guys back up.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure he probably forgot something that he wanted to go over with.
I think they got Coach Conley somewhere there in the middle. You know, this is his farewell tour.
Wow.
I'd like to say, you know, much respect to Coach Conley. He's been a fixture here for this program back in the days with George starting out, the original offensive line coach. He's mentored tons and tons of young men. Wonderful English teacher. Taught me a thing or two about, you know, stuff that I had to know as a young man, and I know he's touched Coach Sands' life and done very things.
A great deal.
Even keel guy, definitely somebody that you could go and talk to, and he's grown with the decades and decades that he's been here, but he's still the same and still a guy that, you know, guys are still coming back and looking up to this day.
And these guys are like, they're probably rushing. A lot of them, like, they're rushing to get up out of here to get back home and
try and get some more turkey,
in them and fill their bellies. But they better be ready to go, because I'm quite sure Rocco is down there telling his guys, listen, we got to be ready to roll. We're closing out the show here live from St. Thomas Aquinas High School. We're going to close out with Welcome to My House by Flo Rida. Tomorrow's show will be put on
Welcome to My House
by Tilt to Kilt. The pregame show tomorrow is by Tilt to Kilt. We're live here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. Welcome to My House.
Pride on A.
We're closing out until we see you tomorrow. Tilt to Kilt sponsored tomorrow's pregame show. Peace.
Doing everything. Look at him. Hey, I look forward to seeing you guys in the summer. What's up, Sammy? Good to see you, man.
Open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on.
knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home.